WKJAN Sports.
Time for Check of Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this hour brought to you by Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, where their purpose is to encourage savings, offer members low-cost loans, and provide other financial services.
I'm so tired of trying to keep track of all my bills and making sure they get paid on time.
Well, Carla, have you thought about online bill pay from Nishna Valley Credit Union?
Oh, well, I'm not too good with computers.
That's okay. It's very user-friendly. You can set up free auto bill pay so you don't have to worry about paying your bills on time. You can even transfer from one account to another and so much more. And the best part is it's so easy and free.
Well, I'll have to check that out. What's the website?
It's NishnaValley.com.
Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. Think beyond the bank.
On high school basketball around the area last night, in girls' hoops, it was Carroll defeating Atlantic by a final of 48-39 in a game heard here on KJAN from the Atlantic High School Gymnasium. The Tigers were led by Brittany Holdsworth, who had 16 points. Haley Stevens came off the bench to dump in 13 points for Carroll. Atlantic was led by Shelby Worth. She had 10 points, while Rianne Kappel and Ashley Walker each had 7 in the contest last night for the Trojans. Atlantic was up 14-7 at the end of the first quarter, but a 20-5 advantage in the second quarter gave Carroll a 27-19 halftime lead, and they never saw that lead disappear the rest of the night. Atlantic coach Casey Pelzer said there were a couple of things that didn't work right for his team in that second quarter.
Number one, I think foul trouble hurt us a little bit, you know, and Ashley Walker's got to sit on the bench, and we really don't have a post presence if she's not in there. That really hurts rebounding wise, hurts defensively and offensively. And then we just got really stagnant offensively. I don't know why. We just, I don't know if we had some girls make plays the first quarter that we thought we could make a play every time down, but we just kind of stood around and watched each other try to make plays, and it didn't work out for us. So second half, you know, that was one thing we talked about at halftime. Second half, we started to go back to our offense a little bit, which really is not magical, but at least provides some movement, some structure, organization, and opportunities for girls to make plays instead of them having to do it all on their own.
Atlantic narrowed the game to 35-33 early in the fourth quarter, but Carroll, a 13-6 finish to the game, most of those coming from the free throw line, helped them to the victory. Carroll making 21 of 32 free throws in the contest. Atlantic 5 of 15 from the line. The Trojans fall to 0-2 with that loss. In other girls' basketball last night, IKM Manning, a 68-54 winner over Audubon. Kaylee Blake had 28 points to lead the Wolves in that contest. Susie Byland also had 28 for the Wheelers last night. It was Coon Rapids Bayard over Glenn Ralston, 39-11. Essex beating Underwood, 58-50. Murray over Mount Air, 37-35. Otobolt Arthur BCIG, a 70-61 winner over East Sac County. Winterset beat Creston, 53-30. Bedford over Nishnabotna, 62-56. In boys basketball last night, AHST, a winner over Cam, 52-43. Lee White led the Vikings with 26 points. Trevor McKee dropped in 22. For the Cougars last night. Austin Conzer had 21 points, leading Underwood to a 62-31 win over Essex. It was Coon Rapids Bayard over Glidden Ralston, 53-50. Diagonal got by South Page, 50-45. East Sac County over Otobolt Arthur BCIG, 62-58. Murray over Mount Air, 64-50 in boys hoops last night. Iowa State men's basketball coach Fred Hoiberg announced that Daniel Adozie, a 6'8", 235-pound power forward from Tyler Junior College in Texas, has signed a letter of intent to play for Iowa State starting in the 2013-14 season. Adozie is a sophomore at TJC and will have 2 years of eligibility at Iowa State. Adozie joins a group of four Cyclones who have already signed letters of intent to play basketball at ISU next season. Adozie was from Compton, California, averaged 5.2 points and 5 rebounds as a freshman at Tyler last year. The strong forward is averaging 10 points and 8 rebounds in 10 games for Tyler so far this season. Well, Jeff Withey scored the second official triple-double in Kansas history, but the 10th-ranked Jayhawks blew most of a sizable lead before they held off San Jose State last night. Withey contributed 16 points, 12 rebounds, and a school-record 12 block shots in a 70-57 victory. Indiana's held on to the top spot in this week's AP Top 25 Men's Basketball poll. The 6-0 Hoosiers received 47 first-place votes. Second-ranked Duke, which is also 6-0, received the remaining 18 first-place votes. Rounding out the top five are Michigan, Ohio State, and Louisville. The second five this week consists of Syracuse, Florida, Kentucky, Arizona, and Kansas. In the NBA last night, Brooklyn needed overtime to beat New York 96-89. It was San Antonio over Washington 118-92. Detroit over Portland 108-101. Oklahoma City beat Charlotte 114-69. Memphis over Cleveland 84-78. Milwaukee beat Chicago 93-92. Utah beat Denver 105-103. And New Orleans a 105-98 winner over the LA Clippers. I'll have more sports after this timeout.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. I'm Jeff Nelson. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes is giving his team the week off. The Cyclones completed the regular season with a 6-6 record after a 31-24 loss to West Virginia last Friday, and they have to wait until Sunday night to find out which bowl game that they might be playing in.
With as long as it's been, we made a decision as a staff. We thought rest was the smartest thing this week. Coaches are gone recruiting. This is the first week we can be out. So every day we got seven guys on the road and taking advantage of that time. And then the next 2 weeks we'll turn it back to a mix of recruiting and bowl preparation.
There are nine Big 12 teams that are eligible for eight bowl games. There is an outside chance the Cyclones could land in a bowl game that's not affiliated with the conference.
The biggest piece is still missing in the fact of whether we can play two up in the BCS or not. If we do that, then we'll be able to fill our league and league's bowl opportunities and not be able to go outside or have to go outside. But I know there's a lot of phone calls, a lot of meetings, a lot of stuff taking place this week, even leading up to this weekend's final games.
Well, Texas is making a change of quarterback, turning from banged-up starter David Ash to Case McCoy to lead the number 23 Longhorns in their season finale at number 7 Kansas State. McCoy, who hasn't started since the last game of the 2011 regular season, relieved Ash in a 20-13 loss to TCU on Thanksgiving. Well, deciding whether to fire a college football coach often comes down to balancing wins and losses with dollars and cents. Five coaches were fired Sunday, including Gene Chizik at Auburn, just 2 years after he led the Tigers to a national championship. The five schools are on the hook for about $14 million in buyouts to their former employees. Auburn owes Chizik $7.5 million. That's a lot of money to pay someone to not work for you, but it can be even more costly to keep a coach who's not only losing but draining a program in other ways. Ole Miss Athletic Director Ross Bjork says, quote, "What we all look for is there a plan in place? Is the plan showing signs of progress? And is there energy around the program?" Well, the Carolina Panthers are the latest team to embarrass the Eagles in Philadelphia. Cam Newton threw for two touchdowns and ran for two others as the Panthers handed the Eagles their seventh straight loss, 30-22. Newton was 18 of 26 for 306 yards, and he also ran 14 times for 52 yards. He closed the scoring by running for a two-yard TD with 4:40 remaining. Philadelphia's Bryce Brown set a club rookie record with 178 yards rushing, including TD runs of 65 and 5 yards, but he also lost two fumbles and was stopped on a 4th-and-1 at the Carolina 40 to end a fourth-quarter drive. Both those teams are now 3-8. In other NFL news, San Francisco coach Jim Harbaugh says he'll announce his starting quarterback for Sunday's game against St. Louis by midweek, so players don't have to face constant questions about the situation. Colin Kaepernick has looked impressive in leading the 49ers to victories the past 2 weeks in place of the injured Alex Smith, leading to questions about which of the two is now the starter. The NFC West leading Niners are 8-2-1, second best in the conference behind 10-1 Atlanta. Arizona coach Ken Wisenhunt is sticking with rookie Ryan Lindley at quarterback, at least until Kevin Cobb is healthy enough to play. Lindley threw three interceptions in the loss to the Rams Sunday. Two of those returned for touchdowns. It was the Cardinals' seventh loss in a row. For the first time since he was hurt 5 games ago, Cobb was able to practice on a limited basis last week. Browns quarterback Brandon Whedon is being treated for a concussion, and it's not yet known if he'll play this week at Oakland. Whedon was injured in the closing minutes of Sunday's win over Pittsburgh. He was replaced by backup Colt McCoy, who would play against the Raiders if Whedon is not cleared to play. San Francisco 49ers wide receiver and return man Kyle Williams says he'll miss the rest of the season with a torn ligament in his left knee. He sustained that injury Sunday in a win at New Orleans. The Chicago Bears will be without starting right guard Lance Lewis for the rest of the season because of a left knee injury suffered in Sunday's win over Minnesota. Bears coach Lovie Smith says the injury, which was caused on a hit by Vikings defensive end Jared Allen, was unnecessary. The NFL has decided to not suspend Detroit defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh for his actions against Houston quarterback Matt Schaub in a Thanksgiving Day game. League spokesman Greg Aiello announced the decision Monday on his Twitter account, adding the incident will be reviewed for a potential fine. Suh's left foot connected with Schaub's groin area after he threw a pass. The defensive tackle was on his chest after being taken down by an offensive lineman, and he legitimately kicked Schaub below the belt. A person familiar with the decision says the NFL will not be suspending Saints starting defensive tackle Broderick Bunkley for his kick to the back of offensive lineman Alex Boone's helmet in the final minutes of San Francisco's win over New Orleans on Sunday. Bunkley was penalized for unsportsmanlike conduct and thrown out of the game with 1:05 left for kicking Boone after the Saints had blocked a field goal. Tampa Bay cornerback Eric Wright has been suspended by the NFL for 4 games for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances. He's the second Tampa Bay starter disciplined for using Adderall. New England Patriots defensive end Jermaine Cunningham has been suspended by the NFL for 4 games without pay for violating its policy on performance-enhancing substances as well. Well, it's week 12, and the Kansas City Chiefs already have nothing to lose. They've dropped 8 straight games to be officially eliminated from playoff contention. They lead the NFL in turnovers, haven't scored a touchdown in more than 11 quarters, and still have just one lonely win during one of the worst seasons in franchise history. Time to throw caution to the wind, right? Well, not exactly. Chiefs coach Romeo Crennel Monday defended his decision to keep kicking field goals on fourth and short situations in a 17-9 loss to the Broncos over the weekend. Crennel said it was more important to put points on the board than risk getting nothing. In baseball news, Tampa Bay Rays third baseman Evan Longoria has agreed to a new contract through 2022 that adds 6 guaranteed seasons and $100 million. The agreement with the three-time All-Star incorporates the remainder of the 27-year-old's existing contract, which called for him to earn about $36.5 million over the next 4 seasons. Longoria played in just 74 games in 2012 because of a partially torn left hamstring. He underwent a minor procedure on the hamstring November 20th and is expected to be ready for spring training. The Rays were 41-44 during Longoria's absence. They were 47-27 with him in the starting lineup. The Boston Red Sox have agreed to terms with outfielder Johnny Gomes on a 2-year contract that would reportedly pay him $10 million. The Red Sox have not announced the deal, but a baseball official speaking anonymously because Gomes had yet to take his physical says the terms were agreed to. Gomes is a .244 career hitter who hit .262 with 18 homers and 47 knocked in for the Athletics last year. A part-time player for most of his 10-year career, Gomes has played both right and left field. The National Hockey League and the Players Association are getting a little help for their respective power plays. Federal mediators are entering the stalled labor talks, which have led to the first 2.5 months of the regular season being canceled. George H. Cohen, director of the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, says he has assigned 3 mediators to assist in negotiations to end the lockout. Cohen mediated during the 2010 negotiations of Major League Soccer and 2011 talks in the NFL and NBA, along with this year's dispute between the NFL and its on-field officials. Hockey players and management have not negotiated since last Wednesday. And International Olympic Committee President Jacques Roga supports proposals to double the length of doping bans to 4 years as a way of keeping drug cheats out of the Olympics. The World Anti-Doping Agency is planning to raise the penalty from 2 to 4 years for serious drug violations in the next version of the Global Anti-Doping Code, which comes up for approval next year and goes into effect in 2015. Roga says the change would be in line with the IOC's previous failed attempt to bar any athlete slapped with a ban of more than 6 months from competing in the subsequent Olympics. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Nishna Valley Credit Union at 200 Maple Street in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.